Amen. Amen.
Praise God.
If your mind is filled with doubt, your life turned and tossed about, just cry, Jesus. Just cry, Jesus. He'll relieve your mind of doubt and save your soul from Satan's trap. Just cry, Jesus. Just cry, Jesus. Just cry, Jesus. If you have a need today, just cry, Jesus. And the angels are on their way. Just cry, Jesus, till the bells of glory sound. Just cry, Jesus, and all heaven will surely come down. If you feel your guilt and shame for a world you've tried to gain, just cry, Jesus. Just cry, Jesus. He'll take all your shame away and show to you a better way. Just cry, Jesus. Just cry, Jesus. Just cry, Jesus. If you have a need today, just cry, Jesus. And the angels are on their way. Come down.
Amen. Just cry, Jesus. Amen. Thank you. Praise the Lord.
While the world looks upon me as I struggle alone, they say I have nothing, but they are so wrong. And I'm rejoicing. me. There's a roof up above me, I've a good place to sleep. Food on my table and shoes on my feet. You gave me your love, Lord, and a fine family. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. Well, I know I'm wealthy, and these clothes are not new. I don't have much money, but Lord, I have you. And to me, that's all that matters, though the world may not see. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. There's a roof up above me, I've got a good place to sleep. Food on my table and shoes on my feet. You gave me a love, Lord, and a fine family. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me.
Lead me on to the light. Wonderful song, I believe written by Thomas Dorsey. In fact, this street out here is named for him. My memory serves me correctly. It may have been after the passing of his wife. I'm not sure. He wrote a lot of songs, but seemed like that one was written in a sad time of his life. But yet, he knew if he could just take the hand of the Lord would lead him. How many knows that God doesn't leave us in bad times? Aren't we thankful for that? Give him praise.
Amen.
House on a hillside that overlooks life's sea. When I'm tossed, it seems out of line that I might see, and the light that shines in darkness. If it wasn't for the lighthouse, my ship would sail no more. And I thank God for the lighthouse. I owe my life to Him, for Jesus is the lighthouse. Sin, He has shown the light around me that I might clearly see. If it wasn't for the lighthouse, where would this ship be? Everybody says, tear that old lighthouse down. You know the big ships don't sail this way anymore. There's no use of it standing round. Then my mind goes back to that stormy night when just in time I saw the light, and the light stands there on the hill. And I thank God for the lighthouse. I owe my life to Him, for Jesus is the lighthouse. And from the rocks of sin, thankful for Jesus.
He is that light.
No matter how bad the storm, how dark the clouds, amen, we can always look to the light. Amen. And that glorious light is Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, it's good to be in the house of the Lord on a Wednesday night. Good to see you folks. Hope you're having a wonderful week. God is good, isn't He? Amen. He's just a precious and gracious God, and we're so thankful. just talking to Brother Chris and what the experience that he had Sunday night, and my, it was just spine tingling to hear him testify about that. And I'm sure he'll have an opportunity maybe to share that testimony, how that God was working with him and touching him even as he was here in the altar praying. Amen. There was such a comfort and a peace that came over him when he was before that in some intense pain. Isn't it good to know that we have an emergency number? It's J-E-S-U-S. Amen. We can dial it anytime, and the Lord is always there. Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles with you tonight, go with us to the book of Isaiah. Love the prophet Isaiah. It's so timely, and certainly it basically is prophetic and a type and shadow of many of the things that we're experiencing in this world today. But I want to ensure or give us some assurance tonight and encourage us through the Word of God. Amen. How many finds that the Word of God is very encouraging and needful in this day and hour that we live? In the 55th verse, I want to read, or 55th chapter rather, we want to read verses 10 and 11. Isaiah 55, verse 10 and verse 11. The prophet says, "For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." Can we pray? Gracious Heavenly Father, how we love you and how we thank you, God, for your goodness, your mercy, and your abounding grace. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity and the desire that you've given us to come to worship you in truth and spirit tonight. And Father, we're thankful for each and every one that's gathered this way. Father, we pray your blessing. We pray your anointing. Touch those who are in need of prayer tonight. God, those that are sick, those that are afflicted, God, and especially those who are lost and unconcerned about their soul and about where it's going to spend eternity. God, I ask you for a mighty move of God, Lord, to touch them. Asking you now, God, that you'd humbly, Lord, anoint these lips of clay, this vessel. God, that you'd speak to us, that you would have us to hear, that we'll be obedient, submissive to your will and to your word, and we'll give you praise and honor and glory. For we ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated tonight. Tonight, I just want to speak on the power of God's Word. The power of God's Word. How many knows that there is power in the Word of God? One of the, I guess, continuing questions or comments or statements that I get and have received over my time as a minister, and maybe especially as a pastor, is how do you know when God is talking to you? How does God talk to you? Does he talk to you in an audible voice? Does the thunder and lightning flash when he speaks? And, you know, I always say, you know, it's in different ways that God speaks to us. But when you're in tune with the Spirit of God, you're going to know exactly when he speaks, however he chooses to speak to us. I have had God to minister to me through a song while I was riding down the road. I've had God minister to me, as Sister Lori talks about so many times, and we've been in agreement. God will speak to us sometimes in a marquee sign. It's just exactly what you needed to hear or read that day, and it's amazing. I don't believe it was a coincidence or by chance that you just happened to be going by that church that had that sign or scripture or saying or whatever it was, and you look at it and say, "My Lord, you just kind of wrote that for me." Well, God speaks to us in many ways. But I believe here in the day and hour that you and I are living in, God is getting in touch with his people more and more. I am beginning to feel and experience the voice and the Word of God in ways that maybe I have not in my past. And I thank God for that. And I also think that it's on not so much on our part, but it's on God's part, getting us ready. Amen? Because God is going to do great and mighty things. And I believe before that eastern sky splits, and it could be any time, but I believe God is about to really pour out of his anointing and his blessings. I've often said, I truly believe and I desire that many souls will be saved that you and I probably didn't think would ever be moved on by the power of God. But that's how powerful and that's how timely that God's word is. God, we think about the power of God's word and the majesty of God's word and the spokenness of his word, and things happen when he speaks it. Just like Isaiah said, you know, when it rains and it snows and it comes down, a sentence he says, and return it not thither, but it watereth the earth and this, and maketh it bring forth. You know, it has no choice when God speaks it. And I'm thinking about in Genesis, so many times, just about every other verse, and God said, let there be light. And God said, let there be a firmament. And God said, let there be waters. And God said, let there be abundant life in these waters. And everything that God said happened. Amen? We ought to take note of that, because when God speaks, it will, in fact, happen. Whether we deem it an impossibility or not, when God speaks it, it will come to pass. So I was thinking about even heaven and earth itself. In the beginning, heaven and earth was created by the spoken word of God. How powerful that is. But yet, we can have audience with him. How many is thankful for that? If you are, put your hands together. If you think somebody that mighty, a deity that great, a deity that majestic, that can speak heaven and earth into existence and all the things that here that we see and experience, God just spoke them into existence, but yet he has time for us for a one-on-one conversation. Amen. Whatever is facing or whatever we are facing, we can come to God, and that powerful spoken word of God can speak to us. Sometimes we need comfort. Sometimes we need reassurance. Sometimes we need instruction. But the powerful word of God is something we could never, ever take for granted. Isaiah said that the word of the Lord shall accomplish that which he pleases. I don't know in your case, but in my case, sometimes I haven't heard exactly what I wanted to hear from God. Wasn't what I really was expecting to hear. And God had to correct me. And if you've never been corrected by the hand of God, it is an awesome experience. Not always a pleasant one, but always a beneficial one. When God corrects us, amen, how many knows that God's not wrong? It has to be us, amen, that needs the correcting hand of God and the voice of God. And God will, in fact, persuade us to his way, because it will accomplish that he wishes to accomplish. I want to pause here for just a moment and recite a very familiar story, one that I'm sure if you've been attending church here for a long period of time, you've heard me talk about this particular experience before. But it was something that happened when my granddaddy, when years and years ago, when he was still working at Goodyear, and he was pastoring a church there in Rockmart, and he was working the third shift. And God had been speaking to him a lot. My granddaddy was in a supervisory role on the third shift, so a lot of times he was able to get into his office and he was able to read and study and seek the will of God, as long as machines weren't tearing up or as long as there wasn't anything going haywire on the third shift. So God had spoke to him and placed a sister who had been attending church for just a short period of time on his heart. And, you know, let me just pause and say just for a moment, when somebody comes to your mind, most likely it's because they're in need of prayer. Maybe they're not sick or afflicted. Maybe they're facing a situation. But if God places that person, especially if they're in the church, on your heart and on your mind, please pause and pray for them. Please take an opportunity, even if you're working, say, Lord, whatever they're going through, I ask you right now to be with them, keep them safe. If they're sick, touch them, heal them, anoint them. If they're going through a situation, Lord, comfort them. Because God chooses to speak to us many, many times on behalf of others. So he could not get this particular sister off of his mind, so he goes home, and usually he has a little breakfast, and then he goes to bed and sleeps till late in the evening when he gets up and does all of his errands and all and gets ready for the night shift again. But this time he comes in and he tells my grandmother, his wife, he said, Sister so-and-so has been on my heart. I really think that we need to go and pray for her. Well, my grandmother said, I can't. There's just no way. Maybe we can do it tomorrow. I mean, who knows that sometimes we try to put God off, but when God wants something done, it shall be accomplished one way or the other. Amen. If we're not going to cry out, he'll let the rocks cry out. So my granddad said, well, okay, but we need to go. And then God wouldn't leave him alone. You know, sometimes God will just nag at you. Amen. Amen. But why does he do that? Because we don't really give him the opportunity. Sometimes we just say, Lord, no, I will get it done, but later. Kind of like we tell our wife, oh, honey, I'm going to get it done, but not right now. So the Lord kept dealing with him. He couldn't go to sleep. He got up. He said, no, we're going to have to go today. And my grandmother said, well, you'll just have to go by yourself. And he said, that's really not a good idea. He said, but the Lord just laid it on his heart. He said, okay. So the only thing he knew, she lived somewhere in Cartersville. Didn't know a street, didn't know a road. He just knew that she lived in Cartersville. So he goes up, and basically he knows she's in a general area. So he begins to ask around, and finally they say, yeah, she lives on this certain street. And I believe it's like the third house or so-and-so. So he goes down that road and goes into the driveway and gets out and goes up to the door and knocks on the door. And there is no answer. And he, being human just like us, well, Lord, I've done what you've asked me to do, but she's not at home. So in other words, you know, I can go home and go to bed and get ready for another day because I've been obedient, I've done what you've done. So he starts to walk down the steps. Lord says, knock again. So he goes back, and he knocks on the door again. Still no answer. He said, okay, Lord, you know, that's it. So he gets to his car this time, and the Lord just won't leave him alone. What did he say? It shall accomplish that God intends for it to happen. Amen. So he's almost ready to get back into his car, and he said, okay, one more time. So he goes back, and he knocks on the door the third time. And this time he hears some footsteps. And then someone is turning the latch, opening the door. And the sister peeks out. She says, oh, Brother Bailey, the Lord must have sent you. Tears streaming down her face. She's a wreck, an emotional wreck. She said, I heard you the first time that you knocked. She said, I was in the bathroom. And I had the gun pointed to my head. And I was just about to take my life. Because that's just how distraught and how stressed out and all that I was. And she said, then I heard another knock. So I put the gun down. And I said, you know, I had time to think about it. She said, but when you knocked the third time, I knew that it was God. And I came, and I'd had no idea that it was you, Brother Bailey, but I knew that somebody was not going to take no for an answer. And Brother Bailey and sister, her name was Sister McAllister, and she testified that she got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, was a longtime member of the church. God changed her life, turned it around. It shall accomplish that God intends for it to accomplish. That's how powerful that God's word is. His word is everlasting, man. His word, you can put it down, amen, and count it on being done. His word is everlasting. Don't lose hope if God has spoken to you in some way and he's promised you a blessing. He's promised you a situation that he's going to correct or a healing or an anointing or whatever the case may be. Don't give up on it. We talk about it all the time. It's not in our time. It's in God's time. And he's already got the perfect plan for you. So his word is truth, but it's also everlasting. 1 Peter chapter number 1 and verse number 25, if you want to turn there with us. In the book of 1 Peter chapter 1 verse number 25. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Never, ever take for granted or just an occasional message that you've heard. Because I believe that every anointed message that comes out, whether it be from the pulpit, whether it be from the radio, whether it be from a tape service, if God's anointed that message, it is for a purpose. And that purpose, amen, will be accomplished if that person receiving that word will receive it by faith. I began to think this week as I was reading and studying and contemplating on the powerful word of God, but yet his word is so subtle sometimes. maybe it's just as the prophet said, there was a great wind that came by, a great fire, but then there was a still small voice. Maybe in the midnight hour, when you're turning and tossing, maybe God just speaks a comforting word to you. Even though it's subtle, even though it's kind of whispering, it is still just as powerful, amen, as a loud-sounding, audible voice that God may speak to you. Because it's everlasting. It's real when God speaks to us. So I wanted to encourage the church to be sure to have your spiritual ears open. Because I believe God's speaking to the church. I believe God is speaking to individuals. I believe God is letting us know whatever we face in this world, we won't face it alone. God has promised us that He will be with us. Amen. From the very beginning unto the end, all of the situations that we face, we're not going to face them alone. And we have that assurance through God's Word. Now, the second thing I want to assure the church tonight is be familiar with God's Word. God's written Word. Aren't we thankful that we have a written version of God's Word? If we understand and know the things that God has already spoken, then it's easier to understand and listen spiritually to the things that God will speak to us today. God will give us strength. God will give us encouragement. God will give us joy and peace and all of those wonderful things, amen, that accompany a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And aren't we thankful, amen, that we have that ability to converse with God? You know, we said it so many times. So many times we take advantage of our audience with God to unload on Him, when a lot of times we ought to take the advantage of listening to God's Word and let Him speak to us. He will speak comfort to us, even in the most trying times. Let me tell you something. Nobody can speak comfort to you like the Spirit of God can. We can comfort one another. We can tell, I'm so sorry that you're going through this. My prayers are with you. And if you need me, call me. You know, I'll be there for you. And all of that's wonderful and all. But when God says, you know, I got this and I got you in the very palm of my hand, there is something comforting to know when God speaks to us. Hebrews chapter number 4 and verse number 12 is a very powerful scripture. And we refer to this, especially ministers, when we're talking about the great strength and awesome power of an almighty God. And we think about that, and I mean, He is awesome. Let's face it. He is powerful. I mean, how many battles have been won just through the anointed power of God? He didn't depend on a big army. He didn't depend on a well-equipped army. Amen. Many times the battle was won and the army didn't have to do anything except just obey God. Well, there's a message for the church right there. If we'll take advantage of that, so many times we're preparing for this. And what do we got to do for that? And I got to do this and I got to do that. If we'll just release it and put it in the hands of God, amen, and believe Him for victory, many, many times we don't have to do anything except just believe God. Amen. That sounds simple, but faith is simple. Amen. God does the mighty works. God does the great things, the majestic things, if we'll just put a little bit of faith. Why else would the Bible say if you just got the faith of a grain of mustard seed, mountains could be moved. Amen. And you know what? That's a little bit of faith. Just imagine if we let that faith grow as we exercise that faith. And that's one thing that we can do. The more we exercise our faith, the more results we see and the more benefits we receive, then it's easier to trust God. You know, we see a lot of us can trust God in the little things. But when you learn to trust God in the little things, you can trust Him for the big things too. Because little and big is the way we classify them, but God classifies them all the same way. Cancer and a headache is the same thing for God to heal. It's different for us because we see the difficulty in one, but when God looks at those situations, it's just as easy for Him to heal one as it is the other. So here in Hebrews chapter number 4 and verse number 12, we've referred to this. I have used this so many times. For it says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword." Have you ever heard anybody refer to someone else as they really had a sharp tongue? What are we kind of talking about? They said it. They spoke frankly to you, right? Amen. They didn't sugarcoat it, so to speak. They showed you, I told you exactly how. And we refer to that scripture and like God is just this big or powerful God that just going to just spit his word out and we better obey it. And, you know, and if we don't, he's going to send a ball of fire and just consume us. God's word is powerful, but yet it's gentle too, to be able to speak to us and love us. God, we can't imagine the great love that God has for us. And just the very fact that he chooses to speak to us individually is beyond my ability to even comprehend. Because how many people right now is God speaking to? More than this small crowd in the church tonight. He's speaking to people all over the world. He's healing folks. He's delivering folks. He's setting folks free right now. He's comforting folks. He's strengthening folks all over this world. And yet he still has time. If we call on him right now, he will be there immediately, amen, to address our situation. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Sounds good, doesn't it? Sounds a little deep, too, if you think about it. And so many times we kind of read over that, and we kind of pick out the parts we like, and, you know, say, well, God is this and God is that. But here, the Apostle Paul is trying to get a point to us because he's letting us know that we have the promise of a better place, but we also have the ability and the luxury, the spiritual luxury, of having a guiding voice to help us through each and every day and every situation that we ever face or that we're ever going to face. He's quick. He's powerful. He's right there. Accessibility is great. You can get in touch with the Lord anytime. I mean, he's ever found him too busy. I mean, he's found him not answering your call. He's always there. That's powerful and that's wonderful. I want you to listen and bear with me as I read the amplified version of this same verse. For the word that God speaks is alive. Come on, it's not just a story. It's not just a fable. It's not just something that somebody has recited over the years. This word of God is alive. How many's ever had that ability to know that, you know, sometimes you just flip the Bible open and that's exactly what you needed to read at that particular time? Because the Bible, the word is alive. It's living. Amen. It's constantly, it's not changing, but it's constantly there for us. And thank God we have the luxury of having it written. For the word that speaks is alive and full of power, making it active, operative, energizing, and effective. And then he goes on to say, it is sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating to the dividing line of the breath of life, which is the soul, and the immortal, which is the spirit, and of joints and marrow, and of the deepest parts of our nature. Listen to what it does. Exposing and sifting and analyzing and judging the very thoughts and purposes of the heart. Who's ever had a briar in your hand or a splinter left unattended, nagging? But sometimes you have to get out and you have to really dig down to get that thing out, and then the healing process starts. Same way spiritually, many, many times. There's things that we harbor, many of us, in our life, and they're off limits. We don't go there. We don't talk about them. Sometimes we don't even want to think about them. But God will speak to us. And if we allow him, he will take the power of his word, which is sharper than any two-edged sword. I like to think about it as a scalpel of a surgeon. Now, you give me a scalpel, and I'm liable to hurt somebody trying to help them. But in the hands of a skilled surgeon, it knows where to cut, how deep to cut, and what to remove. Dear Lord. Think about God and how He loves us and how He knows that there are things that need to be cut away, need to be purged, need to be done away with. And if I did that, or if you did that to somebody, you would probably drive them away. You would probably hurt them or spiritually cut them all to pieces with the truth. I've seen that happen. The truth is the truth, and it needs to be spread, but it needs to be spread with love and gentleness and meekness, because if it's not, you can destroy a person trying to help them. But the Lord comes in, and He removes those things that are not beneficial to us. It's not always sin. Sometimes it's just spiritual contraband. It's just things that weigh us down. You know, have you ever heard anybody say, I don't even know what's the matter with me. I just can't get to feeling right. If you're honest with yourself, you kind of know what it is. You just don't want to confess it. You just want to, it's there. I'll handle it. I'll take care of it. But if we give God the opportunity with His great love and His great power and His skilled ability can come in and remove and cut away that needs to be done away with. And then the healing process begins to start. How powerful that is. How wonderful that is to know. He says also His word is alive and full of power. These words that are here in the Word of God, moved on by spiritual men as God intended them to write. The words of Red that Brother Thomas sings that song. That's a powerful song if you think about it. That's the words of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself speaking to us, telling us to, come unto Him, all that are heavy laden and burdened, and I'll give you rest. And those comforting words. And it's almost like they've just been written for the experience that you're facing right now. Just flip them over there. And, of course, the book of Psalms, David, we can relate so much to David and his mood swings, if you would, and up one day and down another, and sometimes even sad when he starts to write his psalm, and by the time he's finished, he's shouting victory and praising the Lord. I don't know if you've ever done that in a prayer sometimes, but sometimes our prayers don't start off with joy. Sometimes they don't start off with victory. But if you'll really believe what you're praying for, and if you really believe that God will answer those prayers, by the time you get through praying, that quick and powerful and active Word of God has already interceded on your behalf, and you're shouting victory, amen, before you even say amen. If that's ever happened to you, give the Lord praise, amen. That's wonderful that He does that. Not only it's alive, but it's full of power. This Word of God is full of power. Think back with me. When Jesus was baptized, where did He go? The Spirit of the Lord led Him into the wilderness. Not a joyous and happy time. To be tempted by the devil. What was the one thing that Jesus used against the devil in all three situations? The Word of God. If Satan's giving you a hard time, if he is absolutely beating you up, and you can't get rid of him except no other way, use the Word, the powerful accessibility and activeness of the written Word of God will put him on the run each and every time. Amen? Because the devil can't stand the Word of God. You can say stuff all day long, and he might laugh at you. But when you use the Word of God, he's got to turn and run. It's effective. How many try, when you found something that's affected, you go back to it? If you found a good cleaning soap, it's effective. You go back to it. Whatever, you'll buy it again. It may be a little higher, but you keep using it. Why? Because you know that it works. How many would raise their hand tonight and say, I know prayer works. I believe it with all of my heart. But yet sometimes we're saying, what am I going to do? Go to the Lord. Amen. Prayer, fasting, asking God to intercede on your behalf. So it is effective, sharp, and penetrating. As I said earlier, sometimes it's not always what we want to hear. Jonah didn't hear the words that he wanted to hear either, did he? Amen. So he decides that he's going to run away from God. And what did Isaiah said? It shall accomplish. If you don't remember anything else from this message tonight, remember the Word of God shall accomplish that He intends for it to do. Amen. And don't we want to be blessed and say, well, okay, Lord, then use me. Here I am, send me. You know, Moses didn't want to go right away either. But God changed his heart and changed his mind. God's Word will accomplish that He intends for it to accomplish. Not only is it sharp and penetrating, but it is exposing and judging. Thank God for that. Come on, I came to the altar, and I asked God to save me, and I asked Him to fill me with the Spirit, because things were exposed in my life that were not pleasant unto God. Amen. Whether you've been, you know, the old preachers used to call them, there wasn't just sinners. In my day, they were rank sinners. Can I get a witness? Anybody ever grow up in that generation? They were rank sinners, whatever that means. They must have been a bad sinner if they were rank sinners, because my granddaddy always said, I was a rank sinner. But God saves the rank sinners too, thank God. But here's the thing. He also saves the good sinners. Because there's a lot of good sinners out there that don't think they need saving. But you know what? An old rank sinner knows he needs saving. Because he's convicted himself. So either case, whether you're a rank sinner or just a good-hearted sinner, you still need saving by the blood of Jesus Christ. It exposes and it judges the thoughts of the heart. Oh, there's nothing wrong with me. I'm good. God says, are you trying to kid? I know what's in your heart. I know what's going on. I know that you've not really got the full joy that you need. Let me take care of that for you. Amen. And God will do it. Amen. Because God's Word is powerful. The Word is with us. Can you say amen? You don't have to go to the library to get His Word. Now, please understand, I'm not trying to run anybody off from church. But you don't have to go to the church in all instances to get the Word of God. If it was, I've said it, I would leave. I'd stay here. But thank God we do come to church, because we forsake not the assembling of ourselves, praying one for another. Amen. And teaching and admonishing and preaching and testifying and witness about the Word of God. And it does cause spiritual maturity the more we hear of God's Word. But thank God that God does speak to us even in times when we're in our everyday life. Amen. And if you're thankful for that, put your hands together, because I, for one, am so thankful that He's with us each and every day. The Word of God is with us. And I'm going to finish with John chapter 1. Powerful, powerful Word of God there. I'm not going to read it in its entirety. But John writes, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And in verse 14, it says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. I mean, he knows that Jesus was part of the Word of God, according to John. He was the spoken Word of God that came, because there had to be blood atonement. God is a spirit. They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. But the Son of God, Jesus, took on flesh, took on the sin nature of man, and shed His precious blood. How many knows He was nothing more than the sacrificial Lamb of God who came on our behalf? But how many knows when Jesus ascended into heaven, He said, I will not leave you comfortless. In other words, I won't leave you alone. I will send back the Father, or ask the Father to send back the Comforter in my name. Amen. How many knows that if they take, this is a very important part, if they take this away and they make it illegal for us to have that, how many knows we still got the Word? The Word is with us forever. Amen. If you thank God for that, give the Lord a hand clap of praise to know that we got the Word of God with us forever. Amen. The Word that is with us, and I'll leave you with this, gives us instruction. Have you ever had to depend on the Word of God for instruction? Amen. Just kind of give the Lord a wave offering. Amen. Probably 100% of us tonight have had to have instruction from God. Direction. Lord, I don't even know which way to go. I don't know what to do.
we have the Word with us to lead us and guide us. Amen. Better than GPS, right? Amen. We have the Spirit of the Lord with us. Oh, well, I know we look to give us comfort. Lord, I just need a friend. Amen. How many knows Jesus is the greatest friend that we could ever have? What a friend we have in Jesus. Gives us strength. Sometimes we just have to have it. Spiritual and physical strength. And I'm going to share something with you. In this day and hour, we need mental strength. How many have ever felt like, man, my brain's just about to bust? All this stuff. You hear this, you hear that, you hear that. But all of a sudden, this voice of God says, I am the Word and I'm with you. I will be with you. Everlasting Word to give us strength, give us hope. Many knows that our hope is in Jesus. Amen. And finally, he has given us a promise. He said, I'm going away and prepare a place that where I am, you may be also. That's the promise that I'm counting on. You know, and the older I get, the more I need to hear it, the more I need to read it, and the more I need to understand that when I leave this walk of life, I got a better place to go to. Because Jesus right now is preparing a place just for me and just for you, because he said he would never leave us nor forsake us. And boy, what a wonderful time that's going to be when we all get together in heaven, amen, and we're able, amen, to thank the Lord for what he has given us. The Word of God is powerful, but yet he's willing to speak one-on-one to us. God bless you. Love you with all of my heart. Please take advantage of the spoken and the written Word of God. Amen. Especially when you're going through these trying times. And another thing, when you feel like nobody else cares or nobody else is concerned about you, I know one who is, the Lord Jesus Christ. God bless you. Would you stand tonight? If you need prayer before we dismiss, please come up to the altar. I mean, we'll pray with you. We'll pray for you. Whatever the situation may be, how many knows that God is able? Glory to God.
We're going to be praying that Brother Keith and his entourage will be traveling in Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible says, whatever you do in word or deed, do in the name of the Lord. Not even plan to take a trip unless you ask the Lord's will. Father, we come to you tonight. Lord, as we anoint this prayer, Father, God, we do so asking for your protection. God, that you would keep this family safe, God, as they travel. God, that your Spirit would be with you. God, we know that you have the ability to send down angels to protect them. God, we thank you for that, Lord. God, we ask you tonight, believe it, Lord, that you're going to take care of them. Through all the situations, God, keep them safe from harm and danger. In Jesus' name we pray. Let this prayer call be a reminder of your very present help. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Go in the name of the Lord, brother. Praise Amen. God. Praise God.
Amen.
Glory. What a friend we have in Jesus.
Yes.
Brother, come on around and dismiss us with a word of prayer. God bless you. We love you. Have a great week. Remember those who are in need of prayer.
Yes, absolutely. Let's give the Lord another hand clap of praise. Love him. Just the title alone speaks so many volumes of power of God's Word. Amen. Amen. We thank the Lord for his Word and allowing us to gather together and just to open his Word and just to be ministered to and to be fed from his Word. Amen. All hearts and minds clear. We love each and every one of us. Just want to invite you back to service Sunday. Come to Sunday school. We'd love to have you. For those traveling, those that are watching online, we ask the Lord just to keep you all safe, bring you back at your appointed time. Those sick and shut in, going through therapy, we miss each and every one of you. So if you have a prayer request, please put it in the comments section and we'll definitely pray with you. All righty. Well, this prayer will be dismissed. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, again, to Lord, we just want to praise your name. Lord, we thank you for your Word. Lord, we thank you for your Spirit, dear Lord, for allowing us, dear Lord, to feel your holy presence. But, dear Lord, as we go through this daily journey, Lord, may we put you first in our thoughts, in our minds. Lord, we ask you to guide us, protect us, and keep us, dear Lord, as we prepare to depart. Keep us safe as we go back. Dear Lord, bring us back our appointed time. Lord, for the young ones downstairs in their class and also for our teens. And the Lord, we just want to give you all the honor and glory in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. 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 Praise God. Have a wonderful, wonderful rest of the week. See y'all Sunday morning.